What if making great profit wasn't about the endless grind, but about actual smart strategy? What if you could grow your business in a way that feels aligned and empowering? Today, my guest is breaking down her five pillars of profit, showing you exactly how to transform your small business into a truly fulfilling venture. And let me tell you, she knows her stuff. Welcome back to Marketing Strategy Academy podcast, where we help female entrepreneurs go from marketing overwhelm to an easy, streamlined strategy and system that includes Pinterest and repurposing content to grow their businesses when they have very little time. I'm your host, Jen Vasquez. Let's jump right into it. Today, it's been a long time coming. I have been wanting to talk to my guest, Emily Kim of Emily Kim Co. for months and months and months, and we have finally made it happen. So I'm really excited for you to be here. Emily is a former software engineer turned creative business strategist based in Boston, Massachusetts. And over the last 5 years, she has helped hundreds, including me, entrepreneurs ramp their online presence through brand photography and videography. And now Emily is combining her business expertise from her MBA, corporate experience at a Fortune 5 company, and her years of experience in photography to coach other creative business owners on how to build a sustainable but profitable business through her membership, the Business Side Blueprint. Welcome! I'm so happy to have you here, Emily.
Thank you. I'm so excited that we finally got to do this.
I know. Emily does not like to toot her own horn. That is the type of person she is, but she is a master at so many things. And I totally consider her somebody that I look up to and love to emulate. So having her on the podcast is a huge thing.
We
always start with this first question because I love to hear the sort of windy road that people take to get to what they're doing today.
It's always a windy road, isn't it?
Yes.
So I, as you mentioned, used to be a software engineer at Apple, and that's what I went to school for. For the longest time, that's what I was working for. 100%. I went to school, got my degree in computer science, got my MBA, thinking, you know what? I'm going to stay in tech. I'm going to climb the corporate ladder. Maybe I'll have my own startup one day. But what I didn't realize was that there are other less stressful paths to entrepreneurship than creating your own tech startup. And about 3 years into working as a software engineer, I was like, you know what? I don't think this is for me. I don't think writing code every day is for me. I loved everybody that I worked with, but I had already been running my photography business on the side for a while. I actually did that while I was still in school to help pay for tuition. So I was taking graduation portraits and I just kind of kept doing that for fun. And eventually it turned into what it is today.
A big, huge business. So talk to us a little bit about your transition from where you were in corporate tech into the studio as well as full-time photography. Like, because that's a big jump, a big scary jump for so many people.
100%. 100%. And I feel like you always imagine that you're going to have this plan, because in my brain, my plan was not to leave Apple, I think, until 2024, which is now, and I left in 2021, and it did not go to plan at all. So what had happened was, in my brain, I thought, you know, one day I would love to have a studio. I love working in a studio. It would just be so convenient. There was just so many things that I specifically wanted in a studio space that I couldn't find or rent really anywhere.
Yes.
And I started looking online, you know, for market research. I like to plan. And I was just looking at, what does rent look like? What do spaces look like? What is that process like? So I found this one space, the first and only place that I went to look at. The landlord was really cool. I went to go see the space again for quote unquote market research, still working full time. So I went on a weekend just to go check it out. I showed up, I saw it, And I just knew I had to have that space. It was perfect. The light was perfect. Location was perfect. It was close to home. And the landlord, I showed up and he was like, oh yeah, you know, this is how much rent is listed online, but we'll take off, you know, $100 a month for you. And I was just like, what? And I looked at my husband, who I brought with me, and I said, I can't sign this lease and keep working my job. So we talked it over, and it's something I'd been talking about for so long already. We were both just like,
and this was before he was your husband, right?
Yes.
You guys were,
before we got married.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Because that's a big commitment.
Yeah. Yeah. And way ahead of schedule too, because I was supposed to, in my brain, the plan was to keep working for longer, but I just saw the space. And as pretty much as soon as we got home, I decided I was going to put in my 2 weeks. And that's what happened. And we're still here. So it's great.
And it is legit the best studio I have ever worked in. And I've been photographing for many, many years. So, I mean, the variety alone, plus the light, like there's just nothing comparable. So if you're in the Bay Area, look up the Sunlight Space. We'll have the link down below. Go ahead and define the five pillars of profit as you have defined it in the past as essential for a small business success.
Totally. The first is your craft. Second, your offer. Third, your message. Fourth, your community. And fifth, your systems. So going back to the first one, your craft, that is your skill set. So for us as photographers, craft is photography. For a designer, it's design. It's whatever it is that you are getting paid to do, it's your skill set. And I think the misconception is that this is the only thing that matters. When I first started getting into business, I thought, oh, if I'm just really, really good at photography, then the business will come, which I think we all know is not necessarily true.
Sadly, no.
Yeah. So that, I think what's important to understand about your craft is that it's not everything. That's why there are five pillars. And your craft, most of the time, for people listening to this podcast, you're probably already good at it, right? It's already your zone of genius. So the focus shouldn't be there necessarily. And I mean, we should always continue to be better at our craft, but it shouldn't be the only focus. So the second part is your offer, which is how you package your craft into something that somebody wants to buy, right? So as a photographer, is it 20 photos and an hour of shooting and I'll edit them for you? That's kind of boring. Or is it branded marketing photos that you can use to make your marketing easier as a brand photographer? Going into your message, it's very closely related. They're all kind of closely related, but your message is not what you say, but how you are saying it. So again, in addition to packaging it into your offer, how do you communicate that in a way that people understand? So I'm going to keep using brand photographer as an example. You could say, oh, I'm a brand photographer for entrepreneurs. Or again, I create marketing photos for entrepreneurs to help them create visibility and increase their bottom line, because that's the goal. My message is, yes, I'm here to help you make money. And if the photos aren't helping you make money, then, you know, what are we even doing here?
It's almost sort of like, because we always get confused. This is what we provide. This is what we know that we provide. It's really easy to say that. But what I think you're talking about is more of that transformation. What are they going to get that is not necessarily tangible, right? Not just photos, but what are getting these photos going to help them with their business? 100%. I think that's a big disconnect oftentimes, especially for newer entrepreneurs, but even for those who've been doing it for a long time.
Mm-hmm. And it happens a lot when we're so connected with our craft. We see as creatives and as artists, these beautiful photos, these sets that we're designing, these designs. And what we're seeing is, oh, I used this lens and this lighting technique and blah, blah, blah. But your client doesn't know or honestly really care what that is. So we have to communicate it in a way that they understand. So that's what I'm really getting at with the message pillar. Then when it comes to community, this is how I describe the word audience. Most people say audience.
I hate that word, but there's no other word.
Me too. I
guess community is the word.
Right. And I am just on a mission to just start replacing this word because audience sounds so weird. I'm not here trying to give a concert. Maybe you are, but I'm not, you know.
I'm not either. But yeah, no, right. I get what you're saying.
Right. And with the word audience, I feel like that's such like me on a soapbox situation, but I really want to start a conversation. And I think most of us do. But when we use the word audience, it just feels like
it separates us from the people, right? It separates us and has this kind of arrogant thought to it where it's more like, and I've used it a lot. So especially on this podcast, so forgive me guys, I'm working on it, but I love the word community so much better.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, everybody uses it. It's the industry standard term. I just don't like it. So I'm rebranding it.
I love it.
Yeah. And another thing that I have found as well is it's so much easier to sell to a community because it's somebody who already trusts you. Whereas if it's an audience and you're just talking at someone to come buy my brand photography, that feels weirder than me saying, hey, I heard you talking about running this ad. Do you have updated photos? Should we maybe talk about that? It just feels better, right?
It feels more like a conversation versus a preaching, like you're talking about earlier, which I totally agree with.
Yeah, 100%. And finally, your systems. Yeah, but okay, whenever I hear the word systems, I used to think only technology, but really it's your way of working. So outside of technology, how do you manage everything? How do you allocate your time? When and where do you get work done? Do you have an office? Like that's a system.
Like your workflow, basically, right? Because that could be automations that are automated, or it could be you physically doing something. There's a process or a workflow. Mm-hmm. Got it.
Yeah. So any repeated thing that you do in your business, whether it's related to technology or not, I would consider a system. And we have to have a system for everything, because if we're reinventing things for every single client, then
we're wasting time. And we don't have time.
Exactly. And even as far as how do you get your clients, a lot of us go networking, like we go to networking events, we meet clients in person, that I would consider a system as well.
Yes. Those seem simple, but I think the hard part for an entrepreneur, especially one who's a solopreneur, right, on their own, is how to keep all of those plates spinning in the air. So out of the five pillars, which do you find are the most sort of commonly overlooked or misunderstood by small business owners and why?
Definitely the systems part, because whenever somebody hears the word system, especially creatives, we are like, oh, I don't know about that. Like,
Turn off.
Exactly. Because it doesn't sound fun. It doesn't sound like the thing that we signed up for. But really, when you have a system in place, I don't want it to feel like it's constraining you. A system should set you free, honestly, because if you have a system for something, then your brain power no longer has to be dedicated to answering the emails like right away, or to sending the contracts and invoices, or to marketing. Because when you have a system, it's repeatable. The goal is to just remove your thinking power from making this thing happen so that you can spend that brain power elsewhere, somewhere more fun, maybe.
And we could always use more brain power. Can you share an example like of a small business that struggled and then successfully implemented one of your pillars, and kind of describe to us like what her pain was and like what change they made and how it made them feel after?
Totally. So I have my membership, and there is one member in my membership in particular who I am so proud of. I mean, I'm proud of everybody, but just in this specific example, what we really focused on was her community and her message. So she is a service provider. She provides in-person services. And one of the strategies that we leaned really heavily into was focusing on community, but by networking. So your community or your audience, a lot of the times people think, oh, that means growing my Instagram account or growing my social or my email list. And all of those things are related and important, but those aren't the only ways to find clients and to grow your community. And we talked and she was like, you know, I really like meeting people in person. So I said, okay, we should just lean into that more. How about we pick maybe, I think we decided on like one networking event a month, but she went hard. So she was going to like one event a week. And we were just talking about it. And now she is collaborating with some of the people that she's met. She's hosting an event. She's found clients this way. And it works for her. So it's something that she's leaning into. And that's why I really like this framework of pillars rather than specific strategies. Because
I agree.
Right? Yes. You can try anything. You could go get on Threads, have a podcast, have a YouTube channel, have a whatever it is. There's so much going on and it's so overwhelming when you're looking at it of like, where do I even start? Do I start with Reels? Do I start with email? But remember, the goal of all of those strategies is to build your community, aka your audience. So when we keep that in mind, we're like, okay, what do I like to do that can support my growth in this pillar? And networking can be that, and it is what worked for her.
We're going to find out more about your community in a second. But first, one thing that I noticed in your phrase that really sort of stood out to me, like bump, 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 like neon lights, was on your terms in your framework. It is prominent. How do the five pillars help entrepreneurs shift from simply surviving to actually thriving in a way that aligns with their values and maybe their time, right? Because not everyone has a lot of time.
100%. When I say on your terms, it really means picking the thing that works for you. So the key is to look at the five pillars of profit as a whole, rather than at a huge bucket of individual strategies that we all feel like we have to implement at any time. There will always be new ways to do something, new strategies, new social, new whatever. Do we remember Clubhouse and how that everyone was like, get on Clubhouse, like now?
I still pop in on occasion. So I get it though. I get it.
Yeah. And that's just overwhelming when you think you have to be on the next best thing every single time something comes out. But when we look at the framework and each pillar, if we can identify what your strategy is, so what do you like to do to work on this pillar? Even if we think back to the pillar of your craft or your skill set, some people like to learn through courses. Some people like to learn through in-person workshops. One, and run with that. And that's how we'll work on the craft pillar.
Amazing. That's really good. And it also, I feel like, makes the whole job of being an entrepreneur a tiny bit easier because you're looking at it from a lens of focuses and you can probably pretty quickly pick the ones that you're weakest in potentially and be able to take some steps in that direction. What's the biggest misconception that people have about packaging their one-on-one services? I'm going to take a little detour over on the financial side.
Oh, yes. Into your offer. I think the biggest misconception is that people feel that they need to come up with something new and flashy all the time. And I see this a lot. This is just a common question that I get. Like, I'm putting together this new service, this new offer, this new thing. How should I market it? And my first question is always, have you sold this before? And if the answer is no, then I ask them, okay, why not? Is it like a new thing that you want? Have people asked for it? What is the reason that we are coming up with
it? We usually don't stop to think about, and that's so smart.
Yeah. Yeah. And looking at my own business, I have one main package that I sell and it makes up 80% of my revenue. I sell it over and over and over again. I call it my core offer. I have made tweaks to it over time. It has raised in price over the last however many years I've been in business. The deliverables have slightly changed here and there, but I'm always making small tweaks over time based on what my clients are asking me for. So anytime somebody asks me a question, like for example, when I first started this core offer, it was only photos. I only delivered photos. Then over time, I kept having clients come to me saying, do you include video? Do you include video? Do you include video? And finally, I was like, okay, I guess I include video now. And I mean, you know, it took me a year to get there to practice and get better at it. And like, yeah,
work with Bernadette, but yes. Yeah.
Exactly. But it changes over time. So it's okay to sell the same thing. And that's honestly what I recommend, because if you're constantly putting together a new package every time you sell something, here's what happens. You try to sell something, nobody buys it. And then you're sad. And I get it.
A real short period of time. You do it for 2 days on Instagram, mm-hmm. and we're like, forget it. It doesn't work.
Exactly. Exactly. It's like, okay, did it not work, or did the right people not see it? Is the pricing off? Is the messaging off? Are the client deliverables off? Like, there's all of these things that we need to tweak, and we can't get that data if we completely change what the package is that we're selling. So whenever somebody comes to me with a brand new package, I'm like, okay, where did this idea come from? Is it from something your clients have actually asked for, or is it something you think you need? And that's how I start and work with them.
And this is something I'm throwing in here suddenly, because I know you're really good at this, and I definitely want to make sure that we get this information out to my community. You touched on it a little bit by saying, is that what people are asking for? I think what a lot of people miss is that sort of research portion. Before pricing, before launching, before actually creating a service, it's really like getting that feedback. And you're amazing at that. Emily has a ton of content on her website. Go check out her blogs. They're just incredible. But I would love for you to touch on a little bit about the whole ideal client and research and that kind of thing, because that's what really got me, is that education.
Oh, thank you. This is probably the most valuable thing I got out of my MBA, but a little backstory on where this skill came from. So when I got my MBA, every month we were assigned a new group project where we would have to come up with a product idea. And every week we would give a presentation of this product idea. We were all engineers in this specific MBA program, so usually something techie or engineering-y related. And every week we would get up and do this presentation, and our task was to interview 5 different potential customers. And the first time we all did our presentations, our professor was like, did anybody actually do these interviews? And of course we were like, no, like, of course not.
Really? Did we really have to do that?
Yeah. We were like, why wouldn't this work? And she was just like, no, go out and do these interviews. So we were cold calling potential people who would buy our fake engineering product. So an example, like an agriculture drone for farmers or something. We'd have to go find these people to call and say, hi,
gosh,
would you buy this product? And initially, when we first started doing these interviews, they were like, no. That sounds terrible.
And here's the reasons why,
yes.
Right? I think that's a really big point I want to bring attention to, is it's not just to get the feedback, or it's not just to have people say, yes, that's a great idea. We want to go to the people that would be utilizing this service or product and find out from them what they actually need. And oftentimes it has nothing to do with what we originally thought.
Exactly. And what's also important is getting their words. So how do they describe what it is that you do in their own words? What is the experience that they want? What is it that they need from you? Because when I first did this for my business, it's so funny. I went to school for this. I never did these interviews for myself until I worked with someone. I worked with a coach, and she was like, have you ever done ideal client interviews? And I was like, wait a minute, brains connecting.
Yeah, I'm a professional at it.
Right. I was like, why have I not done this for myself? So when I did this for the first time for my brand photography service, I first of all learned I have made incorrect assumptions. I thought that entrepreneurs were coming to me and they would come to me with a plan. They would know exactly what they want, exactly the photos that they want, and just tell me to execute. What I learned was that was totally not true. A lot of them had done brand photos before, not from me, but with other people. And or even if they hadn't done one yet, they said to me, I don't know what I need. I know I need photos.
That's why I'm coming to you, right?
Exactly.
It's so hard to hear that as a photographer, because we just want to make them happy.
Right.
But you're right. You're right.
Yeah, exactly. And another thing too, when I say how they describe your service, what I'm saying here is you can make writing copy so easy. it is such a cheat and such a hack where you just go interview these clients, ask them, hey, how would you describe what it is that I do? And you can ask past clients this too. And they will tell you in their own words what it is that you do. And that is the copy that you should put on your website. So as an example, I see a lot of, I think wedding photographers are especially guilty of this, so I might be calling some out, but people who describe their photography as bespoke, luxury, wanderlust, like all of these fluffy words that I see just on a lot of similar websites.
That sounds great. They sound great, but they're not helping.
Exactly. And I don't know, but I don't think most couples are describing what they want in a photographer as wanderlust, bespoke, all of these words. Maybe they are. Some of them might be, but the key is to interview your ideal clients so that you understand what it is that they're saying, and then your life is easy. You don't have to sit and think, well, what am I going to put on my website? They're literally telling you.
Yeah. After one of your educations, I went to my current membership clients and asked them to describe what it is that the membership is all about. It literally had not one word that I had in my copy. Wow. Like not one word. But I did get a ton of words that I could use now when I'm talking about it. I was focused on what I thought the problem I was solving was, and it was not at all. Literally, they said, I show up to a call and I can ask you, a Pinterest expert, exactly what I need, exactly what I should be doing, exactly why I should be doing it. And you'll ask me questions, but you help me to clarify where I need to spend my time when it comes to Pinterest. And I was like, that's so simple. Like, that's not my verbiage, right? So it changed fundamentally how I come up with copy now, asking other people. That's why I had to throw that in here because I think it's so important.
Wow. I love that so much. I'm so glad you got results from that. Isn't it crazy how different it can be?
It is crazy because I'm in and you said, yeah, and you're going to be shocked at all the, and in my head, I'm like, no, I'm not. I've trained them with my messaging on what to say. No, not at all. Not even a little bit. And another thing that I got from doing that is I would ask them to describe what they would type in a browser bar to find my service. And that gave me a whole bunch more words and verbiage to use in my copy, which has helped. Okay, so tell me, of the five pillars, which one do you think can move your business forward the fastest? We want to sometimes take the time to make a website to look pretty when we actually need it to be functional and to guide people to do exactly what we want them to do.
Ooh, this is a great question. And I'm probably not going to give you the answer that you want to hear. It depends. And the way that I would do this, so I would write out a list of the pillars of craft, offer, message, community, systems, and then a scale of 1 to 5, rank each one and how confident you feel. Usually what it is that you need to focus on is the one that you feel the least confident in. And that is what will propel you forward.
That is brilliant. That is so simple. And yet I never thought of it. And that is really brilliant because half the time we're like, I'm overwhelmed. Like if I had a dollar for every time someone said I'm overwhelmed, I would be a very wealthy woman. When you're overwhelmed, I think that's the secret sauce that you have, Emily, is that you have a way of looking at things more analytically and having us go through and do the work. And then it's so obvious that it's kind of in our face.
Oh, I love that. See, this is great because I know what you just said is something that multiple people have told me and I haven't updated my copy to reflect that yet. So I'm like, I gotta get on it.
We're all getting educated today. Okay. Always. Talk to me about what three things have really helped you grow your business. Could be tools, could be advice, could be really anything.
Okay. The first thing is totally unrelated to business. Well, no, it's not, because we're all people. Definitely nervous system regulation. And what I mean by that is not getting into fight or flight mode when I get an email, a text, really
your anything. Body kind of goes numb. I know that feeling where you feel like, oh shit.
Yeah, that. And there have been a lot of things that have helped me with that over time. The first is accepting that it's something that I needed to handle. But tangibly, one of my favorite books that I recommend is The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron. That book totally changed my
life. I have not heard of that one. We'll put the link down below.
Yeah. And the tool that I learned from that book is called Morning Pages, which sounds pretty much exactly like what it is. Every morning you wake up, you journal for 3 pages. It doesn't matter what you write in them. It just has to be 3 pages. And the goal of those morning pages is to drain your brain. So have a brain dump first thing in the morning so that your brain is just free to think after you've already done all the stress of, here's everything I have to do. And it sounds crazy because 3 pages, like, that's a lot. And she even says, I don't care what you write. You can write, I don't know what to write, for 3 pages straight. But the key is to just do it consistently. And the first time that I went through this book, I wholeheartedly believe that this book is what led me to accelerate quitting my job, because I was writing the morning pages every day. And over time, what I saw was, I want to quit my job. I want to quit my job. I want to quit my job. Just over and over and over again.
Now, I want to know, before we dive into your other two, when it comes to journaling. So I am one of those people who are like, I'm not journaling. Like, I'm just writing, just is the bane of my existence. At the same time, I know myself. And when I'm super, super stressed, I will take a notepad and I will just write everything I'm thinking about until it's gone. So that's pretty similar, but I guess the consistency of doing it every morning instead of grabbing my cell phone is probably really healthy.
Yeah, it's great, because then when you do it first thing in the morning, you're not grabbing your phone first thing. You are fresh from waking up, your theta state, or closest to it, or something. Yeah. So that's when you are most clear. And I sometimes, my best ideas come from morning pages. And it's just been, I look forward to it now. At first, I dreaded it.
I am legitimately going to do it. And then I will do a podcast on what happened from it. And I'll bring you back.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes. So tell me. I love it. I love getting people into morning pages.
The next one?
So next one, I'm going to say the second one is the book Profit First. I read Profit First while I was still running my photography business as a side hustle. And I just thought I could reinvest everything that I was making into the business, which is fine if you're able to do that. But I wanted to take it full time. So when I saw my tax return at the end of the year, my profit and loss statement, and saw, I didn't make really any money, what am I going to do here? I read Profit First, and that changed my thinking completely. And I don't think I would have been able to go full-time and stay full-time had I not read that book. Even though I'm pretty good with numbers, I would say, just for some reason with my own business, I had a really hard time thinking that through until I read that book.
Well, and also you had the safety or comfort of that full-time job, and it might have taken you longer to actually make it a business if you hadn't read that book, for sure.
Exactly. And my third one is another book. I'm basically giving you the 3 books that I recommend to every business owner.
I love it.
The third one is Building a Story Brand by Donald Miller. Really easy read.
That ranks up there as my top 3 for sure. It changed how I looked at marketing even.
Yeah, me too. Especially when you're doing these interviews that we were talking about, this market research, when you think about it, or when you do them after you've read Building a Story Brand, or maybe while you're reading Building a Story Brand, it just helps guide you to the right questions. Because in Story Brand, you know, it gives you that framework of what do I put on my website? What should the client journey look like? How do I talk about myself in relation to my clients? And that paired with the ideal client interviews is really all you need to have good marketing.
I totally, totally agree with that. Those are brilliant and make so much sense. And all of them have their own little focus that helped you tweak how you were working to find more success faster, I would say. Before we get to the gift that you're sharing with our community, tell everyone about the services that you provide, in particular also this membership, Business Side Blueprint.
Just going through Facebook groups and talking to people, and everybody's saying, oh, I really struggle with the business side of things. The business side of things is not what I'm good at. I don't really like looking at the business side of things. And what I have learned about myself is that is where I really thrive. I love running a business. My favorite part of my photography business is running the business, not necessarily actually photography, which is sounds kind of silly to say, but it's true.
It's you're really good at it. It's just not as much of a passion now as the business side of things. And I can tell that just from how you speak about it.
Oh, thank you. But inside of the business side blueprint, what we do is we walk through each of those five pillars. So I teach the framework inside of the membership. It's a combination of on-demand training, but also that ongoing support that is what I wish I had when I was growing my business. So we have a Slack community. It's great. It's where you can drop in those questions that come up randomly, like, how do I respond to this client? Or how should I custom quote this project? Or, you know, anything that comes up. And we do weekly coaching calls and also continuing education calls monthly. So any kind of topic specific thing that comes up, a month or two ago, we had a ChatGPT expert to show us how to use it in our business. I've done a launch workshop. We just did one on creating mini offers or mini sessions for photographers. So the list really goes on and on, but our focus is the business side of things. So we find out what is your strategy for each pillar? How do we refine your offer? What is your community building strategy, your marketing strategy? And it's a monthly membership, so you can come and go as you please. Most people decide to stay because we really have a good time, but it's just my way of supporting small business owners, and I love it.
I do too. I find that it's like so much better than any sort of course, because small business owners need that hands-on help on an ongoing basis. So that's amazing. All right, tell everyone what your freebie is that you're sharing with our community.
Yes. So the gift that I have is called the Packages and Pricing Planner. It's actually a $7 product, but if you use the coupon code, it's free.
Yes.
And inside of this planner, it walks you step by step through part of the ideal client interview process, but also how to package your services in a way that your clients actually want it, and how to price it in a way that actually is profitable for you and you make money. So inside, my favorite resource, it's like a 40 or 50 page workbook, because it really takes you step by step. It started small and it escalated.
So insanely good. So, so insanely good. And I was so impressed with it.
Thank you. And if you can only go through one thing in it, grab the pricing calculator, because it will show you how to price your services profitably, and so that you can actually bring home the income, not revenue, but how much goes in your pocket after expenses, after taxes, the income that you want to make and be happy. Yes. I love that calculator.
Yes. I want to say it's really simple, but it's not, because our business is not simple, but you make it so easy. You plug in a number and it's already doing calculations and figuring stuff out. So you don't have to think about it. You just put in these numbers and it will help you to look at that final number and go, oh, that's not going to work for me. I think I need more money in a year. And then consequently, you're going to raise your prices or lessen your expenses or one thing or the other. But I love how non-mathy it is.
Oh, good. That was the goal.
A lot of people will like it. Yeah.
That was the goal. Yeah.
I am going to have all those books. I'm going to have her blueprint link. I'm going to have this freebie link with the coupon code. I'm going to have everything in the show notes. So definitely go check those out. Thank you so much, Emily, for your valuable advice and your time today. And if everyone out there watching or listening, if you found some good ideas and tips that you can implement in your business, we would love for you to leave a review and let us know how helpful they are. Go out there and do something good for your business. She's giving it for free. It's a paid product. Please go snag it. It is incredibly valuable. And I might also say that when you're on her email list, it is enjoyable. It is one of the few email lists that I legitimately read every single week. It is really good. Thank you so much, Emily. I appreciate it.
Thank you. I loved being here. Thanks so much for having me on.